Red. It's awesome.
Flash. Good afternoon. I'm Rick. I'm a subreddit mod. Joining me today is Spencer and Gingerbread Recon. We call him Sam. Today, big topic for us all is this definitely not a disaster of Builder Base Update 2.0. Yeah, let's jump right in. Sam, where are you on the new Builder Base, and what were your initial impressions?
Well, currently I'm Builder Hall 10, but it feels a bit wrong to claim that because I've only just built the Expo. None of my troops are leveled up past level 18. I don't have the Electrifier Wizard, and my heroes aren't a Builder Hall 10 level. So it doesn't really feel like I'm Builder Hall 10 yet. But initially, I was like really positive about this update, right? I thought it was going to really revitalize Builder Base, and I still do. I still like it, but I think just the rollout has... I mean, it hasn't. Everyone knows it hasn't gone well, and there are still a few things they need to iron out, so I'm cautiously optimistic at the moment.
What about you, Spencer? Where are you at?
Yeah, so I bought all those bundles day one of the update.
Of course you did.
I think it came out to 200-something bucks.
Ooh.
And, you know, it didn't get me as far as I hoped it would. Maybe I didn't use them as strategically as I might have should, but I maxed a few defenses. I maxed the Electrifier Wizard right away. But, yeah, other than that, I didn't get that far.
It's kind of funny, too. Like, I'm not... Like, I think you definitely wasted books or whatever you had doing the wizard, because I really don't... Like, I'm not crazy high. I'm only... like 5,700-ish. But I really don't see, like, I don't see anyone using it on me to attack at all. It's all, like, it's all P.E.K.K.A.s. It's, like, a bomber or all baby drags.
Is that what you use?
No, I do all baby drags. It's to put out a video on, like, max baby drags and how to use their abilities in, like, the first or second day. So I just drop two hammers there, those, and I've been doing fine. I think I hit a wall at like 5,700. I'm not going up anymore, but I mean, I'm happy with that amount of loot.
So you've been spending magic items on the update, have you?
I burned off enough CWL medals to where I won't hit 2,500 come June, but that's it.
Fair play. I used one book for Build Hall 10, and I already feel like that was stupid because it didn't really actually get me anywhere. It is what it is.
I hammered my lab done. And I hammered one of the baby drag levels, and I waited out the other one. But other than that, I haven't done anything.
How many attacks did you guys say you're doing each day?
Well, the first 2 days, I did my star bonuses. Since then, I don't even think I've attacked, to be honest. Just because...
then again, like, you're probably the worst person to ask this, aren't you? Because you don't even attack on Home Village, so...
Well, one thing I do want to say is, like, the first few days, I would... literally sit down and just back-to-back attacks, and it felt really good to get off of that loot cap that we recently had. It was really nice just sitting there attacking and then just keep attacking over and over again, but that didn't last too long for me. I haven't attacked in a few days simply because I don't necessarily need all the loot right now. I have enough for upgrades.
Yeah, I mean, I think with $200 you're doing all right with loot.
What are your attacking habits?
I'd say mine started similar to yours, really. I definitely got my star bonus for the first few days. But recently, I've been doing like a few attacks a day, kind of when I remember it exists. Because honestly, the loot is pretty healthy for me. Like, I am not in a situation like I was in old Builder Base where you could do 3 attacks a day and still not be ready to upgrade your next building, come a free builder. But now, I seem to always have loot fine just by doing a few attacks. Especially, I'm finding myself not needing to attack much. And truthfully, I'm pretty bad at it at the moment, so I'm not exactly trophy pushing either.
It doesn't tell you how many attacks you've done per season, does it? It only tells you how many wins you have total. Right, so I don't know how many I've done. I've done a lot, though. I've went above the daily bonus a lot. Just because I was trying to... I started climbing back in, like, March, I stopped dropping, I guess. But I came into it around 5,000, and I wanted to see, like, starting off as a max Builder Hall 9, a new 10 would get me climbing, and it absolutely did not. I was really just kind of stuck there for the first couple days, and then I finished, I jumped up as soon as I got off one of the default layouts, like, well, I guess three things happened all at once. I got off the default layout. I got that extra reinforcement camp. And then I hammered up those baby drags. And then I shot up like 600 cups immediately.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What are you sitting at right now? Your league?
Ruby something, I think. I forget. There's so many leagues now.
Oh, wow.
Ruby 3.
I like all those.
Yeah, I'm in 5,700. The loot, like, the loot bonus is okay. It's like close to 500k a day. And then I'm getting, I haven't done the math, but on average, you get like in between 37 to like 60,000 per hit. So, like, probably on average, you're looking at the daily bonus is worth like 10 attacks. Like, I try and fill my storages just so I don't have to wait on anything. I've mostly been low on elixir because there's a lot of initial elixir stuff. You need the camp, the healing hut.
Yeah.
Like, I built the expo, but other than that, I really haven't spent much gold. The auto hut, or auto's outpost, I've done just to get more zappies. But it's all right. I'm enjoying it. It's growing on me, for sure. I really didn't, when we first started testing it, like, when was that? Toward the end of April? Or, mid-April, when we got it on the dev build?
Yeah, towards the end of April, we started testing it.
I really didn't think I was going to get too much out of it, but it's definitely growing on me. I'm doing an extra dozen hits a day at least.
Oh, wow.
And do you think your trophy pushing ambitions are going to continue, or have you kind of have you peaked out a little bit?
It feels weird because I don't feel like I've pushed all that much, and in a couple of days I'm going to lose it all and go back right back to 5,000.
Oh, yeah.
Having the reset be 5,000 when there's so many people, there's people over like 7,000, like people are trying to get to 8. I don't know if anyone's done it yet, but.
Oh, yeah. Someone just hit 8. I think it was earlier today. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that are over.
Yeah. So I kind of hope they raise the reset point to above 5,000.
I do find it weird how there are multiple leagues above the reset points. You know how we had just Legends League as the top league, and that's the only league in which you reset. But now there are multiple leagues. It does feel like they put it in the wrong place almost.
My theory is that they plan to bring like a type of Legend League system to Builder Base in a future update. So they just kind of use the 5,000 reset point just to hold us over until they bring something, you know?
How many prestige cups do you guys have?
I've got zero. I've never done Legend League there.
That is a great question.
I know you want to show yours off.
Right? No, like I don't. I'm confused. I have over 5,000. I don't remember ever being above 5,000 that long. Like, it must have just been while I was like farming walls to finish it out years and years ago. But I don't remember ever being up here, and definitely not long enough to accumulate 5,000 prestige cups. Like, were they always called that? Even because I've literally never looked at that stat before.
Yeah, they were always called prestige. Yeah. Actually, I didn't learn about prestige until like maybe a year ago. It's in my opinion, it was the most hidden and niche thing in all of Clash of Clans was the prestige trophy in Builder Base. But they kept it for the current system, and they just reskinned it to match the new Builder Base trophy. It's weird that they kept the same Legend League icon too.
Oh, is it the same?
Yeah, I just sent it.
There is a very realistic possibility that they literally did just forget that they had some of this stuff or forgot to change things, because it was a huge overhaul of basically everything. So I wouldn't be shocked if they just literally forgot something.
This whole thing like really felt rushed out. Darian told us 2 weeks ago that, yeah, obviously there were delays. It came mid-May, is obviously pretty late. So it feels like there's a lot of stuff that is... I don't want to say like unfinished, but maybe, you know, like the shine is not put on yet. Obviously, apart from all the bugs and crashes.
Yeah, unpolished.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of which, let me walk you guys through exactly what went down update day. So I'm just moderating the sub. You know, I know the update's coming. I'm getting ready to change the banner. And then the update drops. I'm so excited. I open it on my iPad. And I'm still like refreshing the subreddit just to catch those early update posts, you know? And then they start flooding in. One after another, all of them saying they can't attack or they're crashing. I had to update the mega thread with all the bugs, and it was very difficult to keep up because there were so many. And it turns out it was on every device. safe to say that this was the buggiest, most broken update that we have ever gotten.
Like, the subreddit was just wild that day too. It's just like a flood of posts is a really good way to put it, as everyone was just rushing to post about their, like, the problems they were having, all the crashes and all the glitches,
and
kind of like, thankfully Reddit was having big problems that day. Like, Reddit was down for a few hours, so it made it really easy just to say, like, well, okay, I guess the sub's gonna suck today and there's nothing we can really do about it. But yeah, I think Spencer you did more moderating that day than you've done in like the last 5 months, and that's not to call you like lazy for those 5 months. It was just such an insane amount of stuff that was going on that day. Like, I slept in. It was nice.
Yeah, the reason why I got so much done is because I was making those graphics to post for the updates. And whenever I make those, I just have the subreddit open on my iPad, and I just refresh new, and I catch them right away if they need to be removed.
I guess, speaking of all the bugs and crashes, though, like, I don't want to linger on it too much just because there's not a whole lot to say about bugs. Like, hey, like, having the update be buggy and crash, it sucks. Yeah, like, we don't need to fixate on it. So, but I do want to say, like, I've seen a lot of posts on Reddit. I've heard other people talking about, like, just, like, what kind of QA process Supercell must actually use. And I've been curious because I don't actually know. Like, I don't know if they have a big pool of playtesters. I know we in the creator program got it a few weeks early, and there are people there who do identify bugs and crashes and stuff. I don't know if Supercell uses us in that way, or it's just a happy little bonus that sometimes people identify bugs there. Like, do you guys know what the QA process really is?
Oh, I have literally no idea.
When I'm playing something on the dev build, I'm not ever really looking for bugs. I'm mostly just looking at, like, oh, hey, this is really fun, and I'm enjoying it.
But as a kind of sign to that, did nobody notice any sort of crashing?
People noticed a lot. Like, people do notice a lot of problems and report them all the time. There were, like, people bringing up crashes, people bringing up a lot of errors. So there really was a lot mixed through the dev build process, and, like, probably half the time too, like, someone will point something out, and then Petri is the main guy we talked to. That's a dev. He was just in that creators versus developers video. If anyone watched that, it feels like half the time he's like, oh yeah, like, we know about that. That'll be fixed in the next dev build. You know, the other half of the time too, it's something wild that no one would ever notice.
Most of those bugs that happened were so niche. I think one of them would explain, like, if you were upgrading your Tesla on the Town Hall 12, then it kept crashing. And, well, that makes sense because no one's testing a Town Hall 12 that's being upgraded on the dev build. We all had, like, max 15s, you know?
Yeah, like, on the dev build, I could go and select, you know, which builder hall I want to be, and jump straight to it. There's no reason for me to sit there and leave something upgraded and then play when I can just jump straight to max. And that's what we did too. They set up a schedule to say, like, hey, like, today, log in this 2-hour window and do a ton of builder hall 7 attacks, and set your trophy range to this window so you all actually match each other, and then we do it. And some of those bugs, like, no one in that program would have ever caught too, because there's no reason for us to do certain things too. We log in and we do, like, builder hall 7 hits for 2 hours. So no one would have realistically noticed, like, the home layout issues. Yeah, because there's only, you know, a couple dozen of us on at that time too. And there's no reason to spin wars on the dev build. There's no reason to be in legends on the dev build. And even if you had been in legends and set a progress base, like, if I would have been attacking legends for no reason and noticed a progress base on someone's layout, I would have thought, oh, they just set it up.
Exactly.
To, you know, for when they record a video in 2 weeks, and I wouldn't have thought anything of it anyway.
Yeah, it really sucks to see, like, a lot of people saying, oh, they obviously didn't do enough work, you know, or some people need to be fired because these were things that couldn't have been caught, you know? It's just an unlucky instance.
Yeah, and obviously things are going to scale up weird too from the dev build that's built, you know, at its core very differently, to, you know, sending it out to hundreds of millions of people. So, I don't know, like, I just don't want, I've seen a couple people blaming creators for not catching stuff in the dev build, and I know that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. But thankfully, I think they just did their last maintenance, and most things should be fixed. I haven't seen a lot of bug posts lately.
Yeah, we'll see. I know the Wi-Fi one was really annoying and got me a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear what you guys have to say about the Battlecopter.
Yeah, I got a lot to say about that piece of junk.
Pretty controversial. What do you think, Rick?
It is stupid, weak, and useless in its current form when we all got it, but I think a lot of our perception of it is just from mismatched expectations. You know, calling it level 15 kind of, you know, I have 9 years of Clash experience thinking about how a level 15 hero is where heroes start to get good. Logically, I know it's a level 1 hero, you know, but it has its ability, which is pointless. And in they're calling it level 15, so you kind of expect it to be a lot better than it is. It almost feels like the ability is supposed to be a trade-off. You know, it's called the bomb rush, right? Yeah, you rush in and do this big splash damage attack, but then you sacrifice your range advantage, right? But it does like no damage at all, and so you're really like only harming yourself using it most times.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm doing these builder battles and I need to use the ability, it's only useful when the Battlecopter dies, and then it just regains all its health, and then it rushes. You know, it's kind of like that last resort thing. No one's going to actively trigger that ability when you have half health, because, like you said, you're sacrificing your entire range. So what I've seen most people use it for is they just keep that ability at the third bar, and then once the Battlecopter goes down, then you'll get that last rush in the bomb. And that has proved good.
Right, it just seems a bit ridiculous that we have an ability which you don't want to use. I mean, that I'd say that's not some little quirk or a fun feature. That I think that is kind of poor game design. You have an ability which you want to actively avoid. As realistically, range is the only thing the Battlecopter's got going with it. And especially now that builder-based attacks, as in per stage, you're only limited to 2 minutes, it's really rough. Like, the Battlecopter, you can't use almost like a flame flayer where you can spend a bit of time just trying to carve out a bit of the base, because you do not have that time to just let it sit there. So it really occupies... I mean, I think its main use is your battle machine is dead and you need another hero to use. I think that's the only really real case where people actually use it.
Right. I know, like, at level 35, it is strong and useful. It was too strong. It got a last-minute nerf right before the update went live. It's honestly probably needed, but I know, like, people hear that at, like, the max level copter got nerfed, and then we have our little baby puffers here that don't do anything. But, yeah, I know, it is... disheartening to think, like, man, I had to upgrade this thing 20 times before it's useful. But again, too, like, I mean, what hero doesn't need 20 upgrades before it's useful anyway, too? Probably the Royal Champ gets nice for brand new 13s pretty early, but I don't know, like, you're not using that in place of another hero either.
I do wonder whether the perception of it would have been improved if they gave Max Builder Hall 9's level 30 Battlecopters to start with, because realistically that is what they would have had the Battlecopter always been in the game.
Yeah, that's part of it too, because it unlocks at Builder Hall 8, so it kind of like, as a, you know, like, we're using it to attack Builder Hall 10s, so it would kind of be the same as like if we waited until mid Town Hall 11 to unlock our Archer Queen and then expected it to be strong at level 5, which is just ridiculous. So, but also, like, you know, it's a new toy. We got free levels on a lot of troops. It definitely feels weak, and I'm not looking forward to 2 months of upgrading it before it's useful, and then losing all my second stage attacks because I don't have it available.
Well, what would you guys do to change the Battlecopter, maybe make it more strategic?
I think it needs fewer levels and should have started stronger.
Just like that. Otherwise, just keep everything the same.
Yeah, I think like having an air hero is cool. Like, we've been talking about an air hero for as long as there was a possibility of a second builder base hero
machine. Yeah,
right, the ability is pointless right now, and that it the ability should be good even at level 1. Like, it takes, like, I haven't touched mine yet. I've only have it at level 15. It takes 5 hits to kill an army camp, one of the weakest structures in the whole builder base. And then when you use the ability, it takes the ability and 2 hits still. So, it I don't know. It feels completely pointless to even try and use it, which is disappointing.
What I think would really help it, this, I don't know if this is OP. Let me know, guys. Let me know what you think. But if there was an assurance, like, that ability would, no matter what, destroy all the buildings under it, then I could see people using it more strategically. That way, when you're not necessarily sacrificing your range because you're going to destroy the buildings that get hit by the bomb, so you're not trapped in a war zone. And then now you're ranged away from the new buildings.
Yeah, I think would that be better even if it destroyed your, it would, you know, like make it like a kamikaze hit.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Because at the moment, it literally is the worst of both worlds. It does no damage, and it loses you your main advantage, which is range. So, yeah, literally kamikaze would be better.
Let's go on and let's talk about these abilities. Some got a second ability, and then some didn't get anything, and some got an active triggered ability. Sam, what do you think is the most overpowered or useful ability right now?
Oh, most overpowered or useful ability. I mean, as someone who has just started using baby dragons a little bit, their fire, it's pretty good. I mean, the range on it, the splash radius, it gets a lot of things. So I would probably rank that quite highly. I mean, I don't think I had the most rounded perspective, as I haven't actually used every single troop as of right now. I mean, to be honest, none of the abilities have really stood out to me as, oh my god, that has just broken the game. The cannon cart ability, I think, is nice, but once again, it falls under the same issue as the battlecopter, where you only have 2 minutes, and you can't spend a lot of time just leaving your little mortar firing away, especially as whether it can outrange an arch tower or a cannon really seems quite funky sometimes.
The cart's the most interesting ability to me too, because it's one that you're actually like need to manage and switch on and off and actually pay attention to throughout the whole attack. So it's my favorite, that aspect. A lot of stuff too, like with the Electro Wizards, people are just gonna turn on the Electro and forget about it, and the rest are all like they pop it on death, or you know, who cares. You can kind of time the giant shield a little better. All the passive ones are the same, so kind of who cares. But I don't know, like I think the cart's the best idea they had for the builder base, and I do like the baby dragon ability. Obviously, I've been using it. You have to manage which direction your baby dragon is using, or which direction your baby dragon is looking when you use it, and it's actually really powerful.
And you kind of got to count some tiles too.
It's powerful against Builder Hall 9 defenses too. I haven't came up against many max 10, so I don't really know what a max baby drag is like against max defenses yet, so we'll see. But for now, I would say everyone should just, you know, if P.E.K.K.A.s aren't your thing, baby drags are the way to go.
Yeah, I see a lot of people are saying the power P.E.K.K.A. and the baby dragon are the most overpowered troops right now in builder base.
Exclusively, that's what I'm defending against. One of the two.
Yeah, and I was seeing on the subreddit that the armies for these are just all baby dragons or all power P.E.K.K.A.s, and people were complaining about how there's not necessarily as much strategy as the developers were kind of hoping we'd have in these armies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the same story with Clan Capital too, where the idea that we were promised was, hey, we're going to get these huge bases that you have to work together on, and then, you know, they kind of failed to deliver on that one. I still think, compared to original builder base, we are very much more tactical, and you have to think about your attacks. And I'm switching out stuff based on the base. I'll look at more on the second stage and see if I can get some value from a cannon cart or not.
What I was defending a bit of, a lot of people were saying there's not a lot of strategy used if you just have all the same troop. Well, each troop you really have to keep track of, especially those baby dragons and power P.E.K.K.A.s. You really need to know the exact moment to use those abilities. If you just spam them and then use the abilities whenever, you're not going to get past that first stage. So there's still a lot of strategy in these kind of spam ones.
It took me forever to get used to the troop numbering and to manage their abilities. But I do, I'm there now, and I do actually like it. I don't know if they could have done that a better way. One of the bugs that snuck into the live game too is sometimes the picture would change, and they told us that was something that they had toyed around with. Was instead of numbering was, whether the toggleable abilities were on or off, the picture would look like it was enraged or something. But I think the numbers work out pretty well, especially with baby drags where I only have one or two out at a time.
Yeah, the numbers really help. But I do have a question for you, Rick. I know you use baby dragons. When you deploy them, do you deploy the numbers like one through six, or do you start with six, or do you start in the middle? Because I know some people have different strategies for the numbers now, which is really interesting.
I try to start at one. And I always deploy one through six, and I try and manage their abilities that way too, but it doesn't always work out. But I don't know. There's not any specific reason why I do that. I think it just makes it easier to track what's going on while I move to the second stage.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I try to do 1-6, but then occasionally I do just press just a completely random one and go for it. I assume that's because I'm used to Home Village, where obviously each slot is a separate troop, and my eyes will just know what troop I need and just straight away look for it and tap it. So I just think, oh, I need to move, dragon, quickly tap it, go, oh, wait, I've just picked the middle one, why have I done that? But ultimately, it doesn't really matter, especially for baby drags, as you don't exactly deploy them all at once, so it's very easy to manage their abilities. And also just in general, like you said, the numbering system actually is really quite effective, and it is quite easy to see which of your troops is where. So I don't think it's the end of the world. I literally don't think it matters at all, sorry, to what order you deploy it in. Just 1-6 seems more pleasing.
Oh yeah, I agree. I do have a question for you guys too. It kind of moving on to a different portion of Builder Base 2.0, and that is the 6 stars. How easy do you think it is to get 6 stars? How frequently do you, and an average attack, where do you land in terms of stars?
Ooh, I'd say like 3 to 4 maybe. Things have gone a bit better with baby drags now. I'm getting more 5 stars. But when I was using hog riders, I won't lie. And that was going a bit funny for me. So that's probably why I wasn't doing too great for baby dragons. I'd maybe put it now more to 4-5 stars.
All right. What about you, Rick?
I probably get like, If we did like my median hit, it would be 5. I get a decent amount of 6 now. I didn't get a 6 star for like a week and a half, until like a few days ago. But then I got a ton. That was, you know, like I said, where everything kind of converged in the perfect storm of advancement. When I hit all the big milestones, moved up, like my expo finished, I got a new base, I got the baby drags up, and all that. But yeah, I'll probably get 5. Most hits. Every now and then I, you know, totally fail and don't clear the first stage, but you can kind of tell too, and you can plan ahead pretty well, because you can see, especially with baby drags, you can immediately see if they have their firecrackers. Yes, I always want to call them air defenses, but there's a lot of bases you see where like all the firecrackers are on stage 2, and stage 2 is always really small, so you just know baby drags are going to wreck because the size of their ability splash.
So would you guys both say that it's average and it's expected that you would always get past that first stage?
Yeah, that more often than not, I'm getting to the second stage for sure.
Well, that's really good. And that kind of connects to the next thing I want to mention is the reinforcements. I see a lot of people saying that those 2 slots aren't nearly enough to do any damage on the second stage. What do you guys think of the 2 slots?
I think those people need to get better.
I disagree with that.
Do you think they need to get better?
I mean, like, occasionally, like we say, you do have a just a complete whiff of an attack where you just completely fail to get past the first stage. If you did your attack decently, you should have a troop left over, or 2. Maybe you've saved an ability, and then 2 extra. You know, it gets you quite far, I'd say. I think possibly that perception could be altered by having one of your heroes currently upgrading. So the loss of possibly a second hero might be causing people to feel like they don't have the firepower that they need. But in general, I don't think that's a problem.
I'm not going to 6-star for 2 months as soon as I start upgrading my copter. I know, I already know. But hero and at least 3 troops in the second stage, I'm normally pretty solid with that.
So moving from the first stage to the second stage, yeah, we have those reinforcement camps, and we also have the healing cut. Do you guys feel like your troops are getting healed enough?
Yeah, mine's only level 1, so...
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to upgrade that, dude.
At max level, I think it's 20% healing. I can't remember.
I think about baby drags all the time. But, like, if I have a baby drag that's nearly dead, and I'm almost finished with my last healing hut upgrade, it's enough to make that baby dragon useful again in the second stage, too. And a lot of times what I end up doing is what the ones that are super weak, just looking for Teslas with them. Because I know, like, I try and use cannon carts in corners a lot. And a Tesla pops up and it ruins that cart. There's no way around it. So, like, you can test for one with a useless baby drag a lot of times and get some decent value that way. The other thing I guess we didn't all talk about is all 3 of us are actually playing our attacks, right? Like, you guys aren't doing the force quit thing.
Oh, definitely not.
Oh, no, I'm attacking.
So, I know there's a lot of people who just are fine with only getting 3 stars in quitting and moving along. How do you guys feel about that as a strategy, I guess?
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I feel like it's kind of the same as there are hits in the home village when you can just spam absolutely everything and,
so,
yeah, you can force quit and then you're going to get 2 stars and you're going to get some loot. So ultimately, I don't think it's a big problem.
Comparing it to the home village, though, I think the problem is that you can do that twice in the home village and that's it. Where in the builder base, you can do that forever and you can keep going as long as you have time to really force quit the app and don't care where you end up on trophies. You can do it, you know, until your storages are full and then who cares?
For Elixir, right?
I told you guys a little bit about it. I did a loot comparison on doing that. It didn't work out exactly how I expected it to, and I was surprised in 2 ways. So I have a lot of accounts. I did this on my Town Hall 13, which was a semi-rushed Builder Hall 9, around like 3,100 cups. I just did, what I did was I did 2 real hits with it. I tried my hardest, and then I timed that. And then I took that amount of time, and I just did repeated force quits. And for that, just to compare how much loot I'm getting per minute of play. And then I stopped short on actually doing the math, but in 2 real hits, I earned 86,000 gold and 78,000 elixir, and it took 4.5 minutes. That was like, those 2 hits were a 6-star and a 5-star, so I gained like 40 cups on those. And that's including the defenses I took during that time. And then in those 4.5 minutes, I changed my army to all P.E.K.K.A.s, and I dropped them in a circle, and I quit. I restarted, and I did that. So in 4.5 minutes, I was able to do that 8 times, which is less than I kind of expected. I was thinking I'd be able to get like 15 hits in nearly 5 minutes, but it's actually really slow. Or it's slower than I thought it was going to be. But in that 4.5 minutes, in that same amount of time, I earned 229 gold, or 229,000 gold versus 86, and 346,000 elixir versus 76.
Wow. Okay, that is huge.
And trophy-wise, I stayed the same. Like, I broke even. Because, like, it was a lot lower. It was, like, 3,100 cups. So there were a lot of people doing the exact same thing and getting, like, 3 stars against me and quitting. And there was also people who were just terrible down there, too. So I expected to drop a lot more cups and do a lot more hits for not as much loot. So it ended up being a lot better than I really thought it was going to be. You know, obviously, that was, like, one example in the whole wide world of builder base, so I don't know if it's going to be good for everyone, but it was a lot stronger than I thought it was going to be, for sure.
I mean, this did get actually brought up to Darren. I remember seeing the thread, I don't have it on hand, but he did say they would possibly look at a way of adjusting the loot system to make that kind of strategy less potent. I'm not sure how they could do that. But as it stands, okay, I do kind of retract my comments from about 5 minutes ago. That is a bit broken.
Like, this is like one specific scenario of how strong a base is, where it is, and I don't know, but I'd be surprised if it wasn't similarly good kind of across the board. But also, I don't know if that needs fixing, and I don't know how they would actually go about fixing it too. Like, do you guys have ideas?
God, no.
Spence?
Yeah, so I was actually thinking about this when it was first happening. I was like, this is a lot of people weren't calling it an exploit because they knew about it, but it does seem a little overpowered, especially listening to the numbers you just said. And one fix I was thinking about is having to gain that elixir, you have to have maybe get a minimum star on that first stage or a minimum percent, something like that, some threshold you have to cross before you'll even be considered to get that defense reward.
Just realistically, I know nothing about programming games, but it does seem like the entire game is built on the fact that if you disconnect, it just plays out as it would. So changing that aspect of it seems not realistic to change, but so they would have to do it through incentives to make you actually want to play. Ideally, that would just be that you enjoy playing Builder Base. But if that's not going to be the case for a lot of people, maybe they could just like weight the loot that you get off of the second set of stars from the second stage, maybe, since it's impossible to go that far quitting.
I mean, here's an idea. How about say it works in like 10-second intervals, and for every 10-second interval you have to make a screen interaction, and that literally could just be swiping to move and look at a different part of the base. Yeah. Right, and for every period you miss, a percentage of your loot is taken away. So if you end up missing every single period of almost screen interaction, then your loot is slowly chipped away, and then that forces people to actually at the very least be present and do something. Even if they do just want to spam their entire army, right, they still have to be there flicking about, and then that reduces the amount of attacks they can do in a time, therefore reducing the effectiveness of just spamming everything.
Yeah, so just to go off of what Sam said, like touching the screen in a certain timed interval. And I know some games do that where you get a little pop-up in a corner that says, are you still there? And you have to click like a little green button check mark type thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I definitely feel like something like that could work for the builder base problem.
The question I have for people who play this way is why? if you're not interested in playing the builder base, presumably you already have auto, because if you don't, then okay, do whatever you gotta do to get him. But like, why are you even bothering to force quit just to buy upgrades that you're not gonna play, just to do more force quitting? You can get to the point of maxing Builder Hall 10 and then you're done and you're not gonna play anyway, so why bother? Like, I don't get it.
I bet you the same people who are force quitting are the same ones making those posts saying how much they hate Builder Base and never want
to. A lot of them, sure, but it's just like the game is designed to make you want to progress and feel the need to spend money and progress and play it, and I don't want to go all conspiracy theory and say they're trying to get you addicted, but like, if you are racing, if you're exploiting this loot system to make progress in a section of the game that you don't want to play and you don't actually enjoy playing, like, what are you doing? I don't have a moral problem with it. I don't really care, but just like, why are you doing it?
To kind of offer a counter to that, I guess you could kind of make that argument with, say, sneaky goblin farming on Home Village. I know it's slightly different, as you are still doing something. Whereas you're not playing the game quote unquote properly. You're not trying to take down the base. You're just trying to nab as much loot as you can. And I did that for like a solid year, and I did that so I could max my heroes faster, so I could get to Legends League and actually quote unquote enjoy the game a bit more, because I had higher level troops, higher level heroes. And you could argue that people will try get this loot faster to, for example, upgrade their battlecopter, which is absolute shit when they first get it. So therefore, they can't actually properly enjoy Build-A-Base until they can upgrade some of their troops, upgrade their heroes, and then they can properly go for it.
Yeah, and a lot of this force quitting, I see people complaining that they can't necessarily do anymore, was because of clan games. And that's how they did it all in the past with the old builder base. They would just put their troops down, force quit, and then easily get these clan game challenges back. What do you think about that, Rick?
So I think clan games either got harder with this system or they got much easier because, like, I care about my trophies a little bit. I don't know how real important it is or how long I'll do that, but I don't want to force quit stuff just to finish clan games faster at the cost of dropping trophies. Like, I kind of want to see where I stand. So for me, clan games just got harder because now I have to pay attention to stuff. I have to make sure that I'm actually, you know, getting to the second stage, especially if I have a task like to destroy certain buildings that are on the second stage. Half the walls are on the second stage now, so I can't just spam bombers anymore. I mean, I could, but again, I don't want to just drop trophies. So for me, clan games got marginally more difficult. But also, if you're the kind of player who doesn't care about trophies, like, clan games just, it got even easier. You're just going to pick up those things as you're farming free instant loot anyway. So, like, I was also kind of disappointed we didn't get really any changes to clan games for that. I mean, not to account for the force quitting, but just any changes to the challenges in general based on the new update. But maybe that's coming later.
Yeah, exactly. I think probably they're still so focused on polishing things, fixing any UI bugs, fixing everything. Yeah, people are already complaining about the loot. They're complaining about the force quitting glitch. They're complaining about this. They're complaining about that. And clan game challenges are probably right at the back burner. So they just thought, you know, we've just had a crazy, crazy week where everything is broken. The last thing we now need to worry about is adding a new clan game challenge or slightly modifying them. So it could just be on the back burner. Same thing, like, there are no new achievements for Build-A-Base, which I've seen some people mention. It's not that it's not going to be, it's just not the main priority at the moment.
Oh, so something else random that bugs me too is everything. So, like, all the troops, they all max out at level 20 now, and we got free levels to, you know, so everything is nice and aesthetically matching at level 20. And they did the same thing for the battlecopter. It's going to max out at the same level. Then we have level 5 max expos and auto hut, and I don't like that, and the healing hut. Just to make it match, if they would have given us those, you know, at starting at level 5, I would have preferred that.
Or even not starting at level 5, like the Mecha Tesla, for example, you get it at Builder Hall 9, and you bloody upgrade every single 9 levels. I mean, that was always kind of the thing with Builder Base, with a few small exceptions. Everything upgraded to the same level, and it is a bit of a shame that they've kind of ditched that. I mean, not that it really matters at all, but it was kind of the thing they had going.
Well, we're about to go ahead and move on to some questions from the audience, so go ahead and ask a bunch of questions. One final thing I want to say about Builder Base is right now I feel like it's in a really, really good state for what they can bring in the future. If they fix a few tiny things and expand a little bit more, then there's potential that Builder Base could be just as fun.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell on this, but I do just want to make one little point. This feels like what we said about Clan Capital a year ago, and that does concern me a tiny bit. But to the questions.
Even if they never touch Builder Base again, it is objectively better than what it was.
Yeah.
And I use that word objectively, you know, understanding what it is, and I still stand by it.
Well, I don't see how they made it worse, particularly. I'm in agreement.
You know, that point does about the Clan Capital. We said this exact same thing. We said, you know, it has potential. And over the years, you know, they've only improved Clan Capital. So we were right about it, but maybe it's not at the pace that we wanted it to be. We kind of wanted faster changes for Clan Capital. But it's still all positive changes we've been receiving.
We're going to have 9 months until we see more Builder-based content. So, you know, we'll see if they keep up the update schedule.
Yep. Let's get to some questions.
Oh, Godly had wanted us to talk about something, and what he sent was a million charts. So.
Oh, yeah. He sent that. They sent that same thing to me. And it's basically a concept to incentivize the Silver Stars and to give a purpose to Otto's outpost. The solution would be to have the outpost turbocharge builders from earning exclusively Silver Stars, reducing their builder time instantly. What do you guys think about
I
something like that?
like the idea of making silver stars mean more. They're clearly like a second tier above. I would like to see more loot weighted towards those last three stars at least. Reducing builder time, like I don't think that's a route they would realistically do. There's so much about this about Builder Hall that it feels like an artificial time gate to your advancement that finding ways to for you to speed through it kind of counterproductive, you know, like they made loot kind of easier if you played a lot, but they also removed the ability to buy a whole lot of loot. All the calculations that they seem that every time I see it brought up with the devs about, you know, hey, how much loot we need to actually do, how much we need to play to keep builders busy, they have it baked in that you are buying that trader loot every single week too. So
Yeah, they don't expect your only income for builder-based resources to be from these battles and from the star bonuses, you know? They count in everything.
you can get your star bonus done in 3 hits if you're good, you know, probably 4. And then to earn that amount of loot, you need to do 10 to 12 additional hits. So, like, the bulk of your loot is going to come from the star bonus, and you can buy 1 million of each a week, which is good. That's 2 extra bonuses, basically, if you're at like 5,000 cups. But you have to play extra to keep your builders busy. Also, it's just so long. It's going to be long. Like, I guarantee you, if we pull up Clash Ninja, look, it's.
Like 10 months, right?
It's designed to carry you through to near the next builder base update, which is going to be 9 months from now, roughly, we assume.
Yeah, and based off of assumptions of what Darian was talking about, that we could potentially get a third stage soon. And I could only imagine that's gonna give us so much more upgrade times. And speculating after this next 9 month update. We might not see some what's it called L like huge upgrade times, because I was thinking about how the update rotation, how it works, and like, does this mean we're gonna get a new Builder Hall level every 9 months, or are we gonna get a refresh, kind of like how Home Village works, you know?
There's definitely potential too. Like there, someone just brought up in chat that, the way they designed the cave to look, there's definitely a path to what we assume is going to be a third stage, the same as how your Capital Peak has room for six extra districts, and we've gotten one new extra one. I assume we'll get more, and it's just how fast that happens. I probably is going to depend on where people are spending their money in the game. If they're making a lot of money on Builder Hall packs and Builder Hall deals, and assuming in the future Builder Hall skins and sceneries, then we'll probably get more Builder Hall content sooner rather than later. But if no one's buying that stuff, there's just no incentive for them to put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah, I saw one person commented asking, what about gear ups? And this is something I've talked about a few times before, actually, because you know me, I love gear ups. Connecting to Home Village, Builder Base, is something that they plan to bring in future Builder Base updates. Right now, they said that they just wanted to kind of fix Builder Base and put it in a position that they can add stuff to. So yeah, there's a bunch of new stuff coming, they said, and they really want to bring to us.
Like not just tying into Home Village too, but the way Darian phrased his comments were, tying in everything together too, so we could see Builder Base, Clan Capital tie in stuff, or vice versa too. I was hoping for another gear up, and then when I saw that it was an expo, I got excited for just a second before I read it. Then there's not really anything different, so the expo gear up doesn't really work. It doesn't feel special enough to me to be worth a gear up, but I do hope some version of a gear up comes in the future. You know, maybe it could be a geared up Tesla too, that's available at Builder Hall 9. Who knows?
I don't want to talk about gear ups too much, but I do want to say I really think they should rework all the gear ups. And that to be that, even to get that gear up that we already have for the expo between ground and air and ground mode, that should in itself be a gear up from Builder Base. And like even including Inferno Towers. To get that multi, it's gotta be a gear up from Builder Base. You know, that's a really good way to tie everything. And I know like new players would hate that because that's adding time.
Yeah, like I don't know if retcon is the right word for that, but like just to backtrack that much through all the main village levels doesn't sound appealing to me. But yeah, I'd be on board with.
Oh yeah.
If you having more crossover involvement, really like the gear ups should just matter too. Like there's no excuse for the gear ups to have stayed the way they are too, because every single gear up is worse. I've heard all the stupid multi-mortar advantage stuff. Like I don't buy it. It's dumb. There's no reason to ever have a multi-mortar or a short archer tower. Double cannon, kind of, but you really,
I don't buy that.
The gear ups are terrible.
I see small archer towers a lot. I think I find them lots in, what's them called, like kind of teaser bases where the town hall, say, just in the corner, surrounded by Teslas, surrounded by a small archer tower, which is a ton of DPS. When you actually get close to it, I do see them occasionally when they clearly don't need the range and they're placed in the corner to just essentially act as this high DPS defense, which can actually just rip shreds through some troops. So I wouldn't completely underestimate them, but equally it feels almost a bit gimmicky just having this one defense which can have this one funny gear up, which like you said isn't always that better, and it's kind of the most basic and kind of lame builder base home village tie there could be. So something a bit more substantial would definitely be nice.
Like troop gear ups.
And also, isn't that just super troops? I mean, do we need a third version of a troop?
We definitely need super troops, though. We definitely need more super troops.
We do. Yeah, so speaking of that, you were calling the P.E.K.K.A. in the Builder Base the Power P.E.K.K.A. Didn't it used to be called the Super P.E.K.K.A.?
Yes, they renamed it Power P.E.K.K.A.
That is good to know, because I thought I was insane.
Yeah, it came to the game before super troops were even added, so having a super P.E.K.K.A. made a lot of sense for what it was able to do. But now they've renamed it to give a difference to what a potential super P.E.K.K.A. would be in the home village, you know?
Wait, you're telling me they renamed something and Spencer didn't spaz out about it?
No, I agree with the rename. What do you mean?
No, I'm saying like, no.
Oh, you're talking about the
series. The last time they renamed something and didn't mention it, you threw a fit.
That's a deep cut, yeah. Yeah, I actually want to talk about that. I don't even think I ever talked about that. Yeah, in December, when they brought back all the sceneries, they renamed the war scenery. It originally was Inferno Town scenery, and they changed it to Inferno War Base scenery. They took out town. And
it's outrageous, isn't it, guys?
I'm so upset about that.
It is kind of a ridiculous rename, like, to something just that generic, but also like you were unreasonably upset about it.
So I think you might be a lone voice in this petition to rename the war base scenery.
All right, let's before we give shout outs, I do want to talk about the we have an upcoming event, a Builder Base 2.0 challenge is the name of it. It's happening in the events Discord server. So if you're not in it, I'll go ahead and link that. And basically for the event, anyone who's Builder Hall 10 will attack a base, and the best attacks will win some prizes. So if you're interested, go ahead and join the server. There's more information there. I'm gonna go ahead and link that server, and then go ahead and do some shout outs, Rick.
First, did you mention the prize?
The prize. Oh yeah, that's actually
exactly
too, because it connects to something. So the prize for this event is you're gonna win a Discord Nitro free month and a free gold pass, which is the first month that I will be able to give the gold pass. Shout out to Vibe, who's been helping me out, giving them out for all the events. I've been sending him some money, and he's been sending them over to the winners. But now finally we have the Supercell store available in the United States, which has been a huge long time coming feature.
But they dorked up the store too for gems. They dorked it up. They changed it.
I mean, I don't really care about that, but
so it's instead of a 10% discount for gems, you now get 10% more gems. So it used to be, you know, 500 gems for like it would have been 450 American, but now it's going to be 550 gems for $5, which is you can argue it's the same thing, but like it's also more cash in their pocket, and it, I don't know, psychologically it feels like a kick in the boys.
Well, Rick, do you have any shoutouts?
I do. A friend of the podcast, Trample Damage, recently started his own solo podcast. It is called Inside Clash. Just today, he released his third episode. They are nice and short, right around half an hour. He talks a lot about his insights being in the creator program. He's a big math nerd. So he has been looking a lot about the numbers behind certain stuff, and it's cool. Check it out. Right now, it's only available on Spotify, but he's going to work on getting it to other platforms shortly too. So again, Inside Clash with Trample Damage. Go check it out.
Yeah, well, I also wanted to give a quick shout out to another friend of the subreddit and the podcast, which is Clash Ninja, who recently, I think either today or yesterday, reached 900,000 members on his website, which is genuinely insane. I truly, hand on heart, did not think it would be anything close to that. And really, I think that kind of reflects how many people still play Clash of Clans. If he's close to 1 million members on his website, I mean, that's a lot of people who are still playing the game.
Yeah, like I was talking to him about that this morning, and I won't share his numbers if he doesn't. If he wants to share me, he can do it himself too. But I was asking him about his daily active users, and it is freaking wild. Like, that dude is crushing it. His site is awesome. So I know we're huge fans of Clash Ninja. If you want to support him, you can use code Ninja too. He's going to put it to good use and pour it back into his site.
Really, really great site if you haven't checked it out. I'm sure almost everyone here has. If you haven't, Clash.Ninja, go have a look.
All right, Spencer, do you have anything else?
Yeah, just two quick shout-outs. Shout-out to the event server and the event team. We are working on some really huge, big stuff coming to the event servers, so make sure you join before the announcement. And then the other thing, shout-out to Squad Busters, the newest Super Soul beta game. I've been playing it. It's very fun. And I'm now a mod on that subreddit, too. Fun fact.
Congratulations.
That is it, everyone. Thank you for joining us this week. We, for those of you in the live audience, we publish these through every major podcast platform. This one's going to be out probably tomorrow. And yeah, we will be live back again in 2 weeks.
Thank you all for listening. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.